the chair of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, has said that a UK vote to exit the European Union could have significant economic repercussions. This is a person who holds one of the most important economic jobs in the world, and she is clear that leaving would cause real instability for our country. What does that mean for Britain? It means a falling pound, rising prices, mortgage costs rising, investment delayed or cancelled. It means economic pain for the British people. Second, the chief executive of Hitachi has said that leaving the EU would put Hitachi's investment in our country and jobs in the UK at risk. Hitachi are a massive employer with over 3,600 employees here in the UK and tens of thousands of jobs in the supply chain. And this is a company that has just invested £80 million in our country with a new train manufacturing factory in the northeast, creating thousands more jobs. He says that he worries that those who want us to leave, and I quote, have no answer to how the UK could negotiate cost-free access to this huge market with a position outside it. He goes on to say that Hitachi have a European vision and would be disadvantaged from pursuing it from the UK. Therefore, he says if Britain left, it would force his company to, and I quote, rethink its investment and its operations in the UK. Let's be clear about what that means. It means that jobs are at risk. Third, Roberto Azevedo, the head of the World Trade Organization, has said that it could take decades to disentangle Britain's trading relations with the EU and to negotiate replacement deals with the rest of the world. He is clear leaving Europe is, and I quote, a high-risk bet. Do we want to take a high-risk bet with our children? Do we want to take a high-risk bet with our country and our economy? He says that not just because we would have potentially a decade of uncertainty, but because, as the WTO has said, we couldn't get anywhere near as good a deal as we have now. Instability, jobs and investment lost, a decade of uncertainty, and a worse deal for Britain. That is the very clear message from today, and this is an economic reality check for our country. And it doesn't come from people with an axe to grind, but from credible, independent experts. People who either have real skin in the game in terms of jobs and investment, or whose job it is to warn about risks to the world economy or global trade. That is who you have on this side of the debate. And what have we heard from those who want us to leave? Complacency and nonchalance. A casual wave of the hand. They say people have had enough of hearing from experts. Had enough of experts. Would you say that if you were building a bridge or if you were buying a house? I don't want expert opinion on the mortgage or on the building survey. Of course not. Why would you say it about one of the most important and complex decisions that this country will have to take in our lifetime? On the value of our currency, they say the pound will go where it will. And because they don't have any credible experts on their side, what are they reduced to? Telling complete untruths to the British people. Now, in the space of the past few days, here are six of them. One, they said we are liable to bail out Eurozone countries. Not true. My renegotiation means we are categorically not liable for Eurozone bailouts. It is there in black and white in the legally binding and irreversible negotiation deal. Two, they said that our rebate, the money that we get back from the EU, is at risk. Again, not true. The British Prime Minister has a veto on changes to our rebate. Only a British Prime Minister could decide to give it up. Three, they said we've given up our ability to veto EU treaties. Again, not true. There's absolutely nothing in the renegotiation that gives up our veto as a full member of the European Union. Four, they said we had no ability to stop overall EU spending from going up. Again, not true. The budget for the current period, 2014 to 2020, is set in stone and can only be changed with the consent of all countries, including the British Prime Minister. Again, it's wrong to claim anything different. And by the way, the spending for this period is lower than in the last period, because I negotiated a cut in the EU budget. Five, they said we were powerless to stop Britain being forced into an EU army. Again, not true. We have a rock-solid veto on EU foreign and defence policy initiatives. Even if it was proposed, we would veto it, just like William Hague did when he vetoed the idea of a European headquarters on defence policy. Six, they said we'd save £8 billion if we left the EU. Again, not true. Almost every credible economic organisation who's looked at this has said that the economic shock of leaving Europe would cause a black hole in the public finances, and this would wipe out any saving that might be made. This black hole is estimated at between £20 and £40 billion. That is the scale of the damage that leaving would do to our ability to fund the NHS, our schools, or our defences. Indeed, in an unprecedented intervention yesterday, the Institute for Fiscal Studies, one of the most respected independent think tanks in our country, directly took on this falsehood from the Leave campaign. They said, and I quote, leaving Europe would mean spending less on public services, or taxing more, or borrowing more. So there you have it, credible experts warning about risks to our economic security on the one side, and a series of assertions that turn out to be completely untrue on the other. A Leave campaign resorting to total untruths to con people into taking a leap in the dark. It is irresponsible, it is wrong, and it's time that the Leave campaign was called out on the nonsense that they are peddling. So as you make up your mind in this referendum, and you wonder, what does this all really mean for me? What does free trade and the single market and business investment and stability, what do these things mean? How relevant is it to my life? Let me tell you, it matters for your job. It matters for the prices that you pay in the supermarket each week. It matters for the mortgage you pay or your chances of getting on the housing ladder. It matters for your pension. It matters for the price of your family holiday. It matters for the money that we have available to spend on your local hospital or your local school. And it matters for your children and grandchildren, the kind of opportunities that they will have and the kind of country that they will grow up in. All of this depends on the strength of our economy. And I believe, along with this collection of independent experts, that our economy is stronger inside this organisation. So listen to the experts. Don't stand on the sidelines. This matters for you. There are no second chances, no reruns. So register to vote, and vote Remain on the 23rd of June. Thank you. Happy to take some questions. I think, Gary Gibbon, it's your turn.
On trade, could I ask you that the Leave campaign say that the tariffs these days in the developed world are pretty low, about 2-3%. In the worst case scenario, that's all Europe would inflict on us, less than what we give to Europe. And in the developing world, developing economies where they're much higher, that's where we need the deals that Europe's failed to negotiate.
Well, I'd answer that in two ways. First of all, if you look at the deals that Europe has negotiated, they cover 53 countries. Europe has been faster at signing trade deals than, for instance, the United States of America. And of course, part of Britain's role in Europe is to speed up the process of signing those deals. The Korean deals have been a great success. Now we want to go on with Japan and India and China. But I think your first question is the most significant. If we were to leave and not have a trade deal, but to go to the position, for instance, of the United States of America, we would pay 10% tariffs on our cars. Now, our car industry has been a massive success for our country this last decade. 60% increase in jobs, 150,000 well-paid jobs in the industry, and another 300,000 supporting that industry. And if we went to a situation of paying tariffs on our cars, we would sell fewer. our industry would be less successful. There would be less investment from companies into Britain to build our car industry. So it's simply not true to say that you can exit the single market and enjoy good access to it. You can't. If you take the case of Canada, which has a free trade deal with the European Union, still not yet completed after 7 years of negotiation, even they face some quotas and some tariffs on goods, and they have very restricted access for services. And I think this is such an important message in this whole debate and campaign. 80%, four-fifths of our economy is services, and that access for services is absolutely vital into the single market. We have it now, and we would lose it if we went to a situation outside the single market. And that is measured in a loss of jobs, in a loss of livelihoods, in a loss of wages for our people. That's why the single market and our access to the single market is so crucial in this debate. Let's have Chris Shipp.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Chris Shipp, ITV News. Throughout this campaign, we've had lots of warnings, what you've consistently referred to as serious and sober warnings on the economy, and none of them have warranted a press conference in response. Of course, you've got your big moment on ITV tonight, but it rather suggests that you have, after some early traction, you've sort of lost the momentum, and the momentum in this campaign is currently with Leave on things like immigration, on things like criminals, and on things like the EU budget.
Well, I'm looking forward to my appearance on ITV, another plug for you for tonight. But I was watching the news last night, and it just came over to me so clearly that there is such a contrast between the weight of independent expert opinion that wishes our country well but is giving us an unvarnished view of the decision we could be taking. There's a massive contrast between that. Respected independent experts warning us about lost jobs, about instability, about a smaller economy, about the effect on our country. The contrast between that and a series of assertions from the Leave campaign that just simply aren't right. We're not giving up our veto. We're not giving up our rebate. They can't increase the overall EU budget without our agreement. And it struck me that it's so important to say to people, don't take a decision to leave the EU and damage our economy on the basis of clearly false information that you're being given. That would be a very bad thing for us to do as a country. So I thought it was right to gather you here today and call out this campaign, because they are making a series of assertions, for whatever reason, that simply aren't factually correct. Now, you can argue with what has been said about growth, about jobs, about prices, but what's so clear is it's being said by so many independent experts all at the same time. And if it was one body, you might say, well, that's one person's view or one body's view, let's take a risk. But when you've got organisations whose job it is to warn prime ministers about risks to their economy, when you've got 9 out of 10 economists, when you've got the governor of the Bank of England, when you've got the head of the World Trade Organization, all making these points, I think that is really important to take into account before people vote on June the 23rd. Let's have BBC. Laura.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Laura Coonsberg, BBC News. Isn't it rather extraordinary that you've called a press conference this morning to say that some of your senior colleagues are basically lying to the public? You sound like you're pleading with voters this morning to listen to you, not some of your own cabinet colleagues. Are you worried you're losing?
Not at all. What I'm worried about, what I'm concerned about, is that people are being told things that aren't correct. And I don't know of any better mechanism than to call a press conference and simply make those points. You know, there's a passionate debate taking place in our country, and we should be proud of the fact this is an enormous exercise in democracy, an enormous exercise in sovereignty. But we must make this decision on the basis of facts and arguments. And the facts that were put in front of people yesterday and the day before simply aren't the case. So I'd hate it for people to go to the polling station thinking, well, because we've lost our veto, I must vote to leave. We haven't. Because we're going to be forced into joining a European army, we must vote to leave. We can't. You know, that seems to me so important to get that point across. And I think, as I say, there's this huge contrast between a weight of independent expert opinion giving us very legitimate and clear warnings about our economy, on which everything else depends, and a series of assertions that turn out, on examination, not to be the case. Faisal.
Prime Minister, I mean, if you seriously thought some of your Conservative colleagues were lying, how on earth can they be fit to be part of a government or your cabinet?
Well, obviously, the points that they are making are to do with European policy, and most of the leaders of this the Leave campaign haven't been as intricately involved in it as I have. And so when they say we're liable to bail out Eurozone countries, I know that's not true, and I know it's important make clear that that's not true. When they say we've given up the veto, I know that's not true, and I must make clear to people that it's not true. When they say that the budget can be increased against our will, I know that's not the case. I've sat around that table with 27 other countries for 6 years, and look, I stand here as someone who would be the first to say this organisation is full of imperfections. This organisation can be very frustrating. As I said on your programme, there are times it drives me crazy. But it shouldn't drive us so crazy that we start making factual errors about what we do face. And that's why I think it's so important. So it's not for me to say why they made these factual errors and mistakes, but I think it is for me to call it out and say that I think this is an important moment in the campaign. Don't make this choice on the basis of false information. That, I think, is the clear message from today. Let's have one more. Why don't we have Jason Beattie?
Jason Beattie from the Daily Mirror. Isn't the problem with your message that this fear about losing incomes only affects those who actually have something to lose? And a lot of Mirror readers were saying, look, we're already poor, we already aren't feeling the benefits of the European Union. And this is going over their head. What message would you say to them to try and convince them?
What I'd say to everyone is that everyone has something to lose if we have a smaller economy. If you believe the 9 out of 10 economists, the Governor of the Bank of England, the International Monetary Fund, the OECD, the head of the World Trade Organization, if you believe these people, then you're going to have a smaller economy, you're going to have fewer jobs, you'll have lower wages, you'll have higher prices. That will directly affect everyone in our country. And to Mirror readers, I would say, look, of course there's a debate about how we get domestic policy right in our country. We can have an argument about the health service, we can have an argument about how we best improve education, we have an argument about reforming our prisons. Let's have an argument about all of these things, but let's not mistake that argument for the huge discussion we're currently having about whether we are better off in or better off out. And that is why I think, you know, you can see me appearing on platforms with leaders of Green parties, Liberal parties, Labour parties, trade unions, businesses large and small, NGOs. There's an extraordinary and huge coalition of people who don't normally agree with each other, but on this issue, agreeing that whatever your political perspective, we're better off in. And then you look at the Leave campaign. Very few independent experts, very few third-party supporters. Their spokesman, their chief economic spokesman, thinks that we should be obliterating manufacturing industry, as far as I can see from what he said over the last few days. So it's a very big contrast. So to people who are still making up their mind, if you look at the breadth of the campaign to stay, if you look at the mounting evidence of potential damage to our economy, I think there's a very, very strong case for saying that we are stronger, we are safer, we're better off if we stay in a reformed European Union. Can I thank you all very much for coming, and look forward to seeing you again in the next 16 days of this campaign.